Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again in studio with you.
Woo! Good to be here, too.
None of that phone communication.
Ticking down the rest of Advent as we approach the birth of Messiah.
Yeah.
And here we are. It's only a week away.
Oh, yeah.
Less than a week away.
And we celebrate the birth of Messiah.
I know Christmas is on Sunday, like, pretty often, like, probably every 6 years, but it seems unusual to have Christmas on a Sunday.
It does.
Does that mean you have to go to church twice?
No, but for me, it does mean that it's a much easier Christmas season for me.
Never thought about that.
On Sunday.
Never thought about that. You can kind of condense things.
It's really condensed.
When Christmas is a Friday, that's probably kind of wild.
If Christmas is on a Friday, or like Christmas Day, if Christmas Day is on a Friday or Saturday, you still have Sunday services that you go to besides Christmas. So it's very compact.
So this is good.
If it's in the middle of the week, it's a little better, but Sunday's the best.
No, so this is gravy.
This is.
Anyway, so here we are. So what are we doing today? I can't remember.
Are we going to talk about
John the Baptist?
John the Baptist.
Yes. I hope you haven't had dinner yet, because we're going to be talking about
locusts and honey.
Fried
locusts with honey dipping sauce. Yeah, that stuff's good.
He tried barbecuing them, but they kept falling through the grate.
A little bit small. Well, this is a big grasshopper.
And then whenever you ordered them at a restaurant, they asked him what kind of sauce he wanted. Barbecue, ranch.
just honey, please.
Yeah. Anyway, he's going to be waiting for us in heaven, too.
Yeah.
But I think he likes me.
I hope.
He's going to keep those minor prophets in line.
That camel hair jacket, though, that would have been tough.
Oof, yeah. I like to be comfortable. Anyway, I think we should read from Matthew. We haven't read from Matthew for a while, I think. We've been doing a lot of Luke and a lot of John. My wife points out that I never read anything from Mark. But that's okay.
that's his issue, you know?
I like St. Mark a lot.
Yeah.
And he, of course, has a, his gospel starts with John the Baptist. So that's kind of good, too. But anyway, maybe we can do both. But let's do Matthew 3.
Got to give everybody equal time. Come on.
Yeah. Let's do like 1 through 12. Or
on what?
1 through 13. Matthew 3.
Matthew 3, 1 through 13?
Yeah.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah, when you hear somebody preaching like that, you don't hear many people preaching like that anymore.
No. No.
Now you'd want to make sure that the Pharisees felt good about themselves and everybody listening.
Gotta make everybody feel welcome. Hey, you showed up for church today. Here's your participation trophy. Glad that you came.
Yeah, boy, this was like...
Did you leave something in the collection basket?
Yeah.
You didn't? Give me your trophy back.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about... No. The old preachers with fire and brimstone.
This is
fire and brimstone.
You know, I like in our modern day culture, like if you, let's just say, you know, John was at Starbucks getting a coffee. and he started talking about like this.
They don't have locusts there.
They don't?
No.
Well, they should. No wonder he never went there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, really, if we think about, in our culture today, if John the Baptist were alive today in our culture, and he was at a church, and he and he spoke like this.
Yeah.
People would be mortified.
And leave.
And leave. And I think it says something to how we have tried to sanitize the gospel.
Yeah. Absolutely.
How we have tried to politically make the gospel politically correct.
Yeah.
And God's not worried about political correctness. He's not worried about that stuff. He's interested in truth.
Because
he is truth.
Yes.
And, you know, how many of us really would stay there and listen to a prophet speak the truth? Because Jesus is going to ask the people, what did you go there to see?
Yes.
Did you go there to see a reed swayed by the wind? Did you go there to see somebody, you know, in fine clothes? And because those people are in palaces.
Mm-hmm.
No, you went to see a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And a mighty one.
And more than a prophet.
And more than a prophet. Yeah, the forerunner.
Yes.
You know, so really, you know, this season of Advent, we tend to think a lot about, well, it's, you know, we're remembering the birth of Jesus. We're anticipating a second coming. But there's more than that in the season of Advent. And that is, you know, we're there to prepare our hearts. You know, the home that Jesus wants to dwell in is my heart.
Yes.
It's not, you know, my physical home is fine too, but the heart that he's really interested in is my heart.
Hmm.
That there's room in there for him. You know, that there's room in there for him that he can dwell within me and abide in me, and then I can go out and preach the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But would I really be willing to listen to a prophet like John that is speaking the truth without any apologies?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And a very powerful sermon. And, you know, it says in those days, so the fullness of time had come.
Yeah.
You know, use that term, fullness of time. God has appointed times. In fact, the word that's used to describe the seven feasts of the Lord in the Torah are the appointed times. I think the Hebrew word is moedim or something like that. But he has appointed times for things. So this is the appointed time that the forerunner of Messiah was going to come. The gospel was about to be proclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kingdom was at hand, literally at hand. And it's... The description of him here is he's very Elijah-like. He looks like Elijah of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, where Elijah preached in the Northern Kingdom back in the early part of the 700s BC. And he was kind of a wild-looking guy with crazy hair and crazy clothes, and I don't know what he ate, but I mean, it was. And you know, the prophet Malachi says Elijah's going to come before the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
So this Elijah like figure shows up looking like Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Got wild hair, he's got a camel thing, he's kind of looks like a mess. He's probably like loud.
Mm-hmm.
He's, I picture him with like big eyes, totally messed up hair. And, he literally is the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He's an Old Testament-like prophet, but he's in the New Testament, which I think is kind of interesting. And the Old Testament, the prophets in the Tanakh and the Old Testament always referred to the Messiah as, you know, when he comes, someday when he comes, sometime in the future, these things are going to happen. John the Baptist, as a prophet, is living at the same time as the Messiah. And then we're going to see right after this, well, we're not going to see it today, but he, after this, he points to him and says, there he is. There's the Lamb of God. So he's the, kind of the last prophet who points and says, there's the Messiah.
Yeah.
And he's going to take away the sins of the world. Now, you know, we're kind of looking for a Messiah to be king and to get rid of the Romans and to have the kingdom of David and Solomon again. And we want to have a Messiah who's kind of a big, strong leader. But here's the Messiah who's going to take away the sins of the world.
Yeah.
He's a lamb.
Well, you know, as you're saying that, you know, what else really stands out to me is that all the prophets before John spoke about the coming of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
John speaks to the Messiah.
Yes.
He points him out.
Yes.
So Isaiah had how many chapters?
66.
And
was even related to Jesus.
Yeah. And he had, you know, all kidding aside, he has prophecies about the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi has prophecies about the Messiah.
Yeah.
Micah. They all talk about the coming of the Messiah. But John announces his arrival.
Yeah, that's right.
He announces his arrival, and he says, there he is.
Yes.
Now, obviously, we're ahead of the, you know.
Yeah.
But, he says, there he is. And he speaks to the people with authority.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how Jesus addressed the people.
Yes.
He spoke with authority
exactly.
Because he's the author of the word.
Yes.
John tells the people there, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, don't presume to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father.
Yeah, that's good.
Just because you're descendants of Abraham doesn't mean that you're automatically in the club,
that's
if you
right.
will.
Yes.
You
right.
know. How many times do we hear people say, well, you know, I know so-and-so, and I've been a member of this church for all my life, and
yes.
I've done this, and I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all very good things.
Mm-hmm.
But what John is saying is, you guys are coming here for a baptism?
Yeah.
Who warned you?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're the guys that Jesus is going to talk about that aren't lifting a finger to help people and are heaping burdens upon the people.
Did they like being called a brood of vipers?
I think they really did. I think they just, you know, they just kind of downplayed it a little bit just so, you know, for effect. I mean, you know, it could be a term of endearment. You brood of vipers.
Yeah.
You know, no, I don't think about it that way. But he's telling them God will raise up children to Abraham from these stones.
Yeah, if he wants to.
If he wants to. You know, and Jesus would later tell the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, the cup is clean on the outside,
yes.
but the inside is a mess.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a real mess.
Yeah.
It's not clean at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you carry on about yourself like this. And, you know, this is why in the season of Advent, we're to prepare our hearts, because that's what God looks at.
Good point.
What God looks at.
Clean the inside of the cup rather than the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jesus even brings this up when he's during, I can't remember the reference, but, you know, he says, you know, they say to him, well, Abraham's our father. And he says, well, actually, if Abraham was your father, you'd be listening to me and doing Abraham things, but
yeah,
you're not
but
doing
you're
Abraham
not.
Things. So actually, we know who you're, I know who your father is.
They
didn't like
Abraham.
That either.
No, they didn't.
But, interestingly, we know about There was an annunciation of his birth, too, as we talked about last week briefly with Zechariah and Elizabeth. And we don't really know anything about his childhood. We know he's related to Jesus because Mary and Elizabeth are related. So we don't know if they had contact when they were kids, if they saw each other at family reunions, if they went to each other's house for vacation. I mean, we don't know any of that. But we know who his parents are. And we know that he grows up outside of the city because of the account with Zechariah and Gabriel. But here he is now, and Zechariah, you know, there's a song of Zechariah, which is really cool, that when John the Baptist is to be circumcised, and Zechariah does this beautiful
blessed awesome. Be the Lord.
Yeah, the canticle of Zechariah.
Yeah.
And, you know, so here he is. He doesn't look like a blessed guy. He looks like a wild man. But he's Elijah-like, and, you know, Isaiah talks about preparing the way, but Malachi, chapter 3, and Malachi's a minor prophet. I mean, you know, he's got a few chapters. But he's a minor prophet. But, you know, in Malachi chapter 3, he said, verse 1, he says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." So this is another prophecy referring to this time. "And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant."
Hmm.
So the messenger of the covenant. Remember, Moses is the mediator of the first covenant.
Yeah.
You know that because you took my Torah class.
I do.
And Jesus, Yeshua, is the mediator, of course, of the new covenant.
And John's the messenger.
In his blood. John's the messenger. And the messenger comes before the Messiah.
Yeah.
And it's Zechariah writes, Malachi writes, "Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts."
Yeah.
So through Malachi is this prophecy that Messiah is going to come, a messenger is going to come to prepare his way, and you can count on the fact that he's coming.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's coming, and there's going to be no doubt in your mind.
Yeah.
So here's this guy, and the Romans are there. There's a prophecy that goes way back to old Jacob before he dies in Genesis, I think it's 49, that says when the scepter passes from Judah, then Messiah is going to come. Calls him Shiloh at that point. So the scepter's passed from Judah because they don't have any power anymore. The Romans are in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So the time is right.
Yeah.
So these religious leaders, this brood of vipers, these children of Abraham, should say, "Gee, we don't have a government. Here's a guy talking about Messiah. Maybe this is the time." Oh, man, it's a prank already. Remember, check out GetTheGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
Out of Zion, Zion, oh, comes your salvation, yeah, oh. And a nation will be formed out of him, and a people will be born out of him. Out of Zion, Zion, oh, comes your salvation, yeah. Oh, and a nation will be formed out of him, and a people will be born out of him. Out of Zion, Zion, Yeshua HaMashiach. So lift up your heads, lift up your heads.
and a people will be born out of him.
Out of Zion, Zion, Zion. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So here's John. We're not going to talk about the locusts because we're kind of like, you know, tired of that.
Oh, darn it.
Except there was the time he went to Denny's and wanted to know if there was a locust grand slam. And they said, yeah. No, just French toast. And he said, okay. Hey, well, forget it.
The beer-battered locust.
I'm not eating here. So Malachi prophesizes this, and it says he's in the wilderness of Judea, which is Judah. Judea is the Roman name for Judah. So he's in this kind of unpopulated area in this wilderness. And it's kind of interesting, you know, when you see Old Testament, New Testament connections and parallels that go through both the Tanakh and the New Testament. The first covenant also starts in a wilderness, which is the wilderness of the Sinai. Mm-hmm. Moses gets the law, gets the covenant on the mountain.
Yeah.
And here we have the new covenant being proclaimed in a wilderness. The kingdom's at hand.
Hmm.
In a wilderness. There's not a Moses-like guy. There's an Elijah-like guy, but there's somebody proclaiming something new that's coming. And he doesn't get a law. He says you have to repent in order to come in. So repentance is what's necessary to get into the kingdom. And he's preaching to these common people that are congregating around. He's not preaching to the really smart people in Jerusalem. He's preaching to common people that are coming to hear him. As he says, the kingdom is at hand,
org.
The Messiah is at hand, and you have to repent in order to come in. Because the Messiah is the king, the kingdom is here, the kingdom, what he's implying is not of this world, you have to get yourself into the kingdom.
Yeah.
And the way you're going to get into the kingdom is to know Messiah and repent.
Yeah.
You're not going to have to get stone tablets, you don't have to go get some scrolls. You have to go up the mountain. You have to see Messiah. You have to repent. And you're going to be admitted into this kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being proclaimed in the wilderness. And he's also telling these people by saying this that there's going to be, that there's love and grace that are involved in this.
Yeah.
God's love for them is overwhelming, that if they turn to him and repent, they'll be filled with grace and come into his kingdom.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that John says when he sees the Pharisees and the Sadducees approaching him, other than the greeting of you brood of vipers. He says, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?
Yeah.
Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. You know, Jesus would always talk about a good tree bearing good fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was that withered fig tree.
Yeah.
You know, cut it down.
Yeah.
It's not producing the fruit that it was made for. Cut it down. But before the break, you had mentioned about Zechariah and what he spoke when John was born. And, you know, the story is, or the account is that, he was to be named John. his wife was telling his mother, Elizabeth was saying, no, he was going to be called John. But everybody's there is telling her, you don't have any relatives by that name, so they can't be. So then they ask, John asks for, Zachariah gets a tablet, and he writes down John as his name. And immediately his tongue is freed, and he starts to prophesy. And what he says is this, and this is in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 67. Then Zechariah, his father, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and brought redemption to his people. He has raised up a horn for our salvation within the house of David, his servant, even as he promised through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, the salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to be mindful of his holy covenant, and of the oath he swore to Abraham our father, and to grant us that, rescued from the hand of enemies, without fear we might worship him in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, child, will be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of God, by which the daybreak from on high will visit us, to shine on those who sit in darkness and death's shadow, and to guide our feet into the path of peace.
Whoa. Kind of summarizes the new covenant.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, so Zechariah just prophesies this when as soon as he says his name is John.
Yes. And he's filled with the Holy Spirit.
And Gabriel's going, see, I told you. Should have listened to me the first time. That is it.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, you have, close together there in the first chapter of Luke, you have Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit,
yep,
and doing a canticle. You have Mary filled with the Holy Spirit and doing a canticle. Then you have Zechariah filled with the Holy Spirit and doing a canticle. It's pretty exciting.
Seems to be a pattern.
Yeah. We don't usually use the word canticle anymore, but it's just a song.
You know, when you're saying that, though, it's amazing because as I'm thinking of Pentecost, what happens to Peter? He's filled with the Holy Spirit and boom.
Yes, exactly. Now, I'm willing to bet that if you knew Zechariah personally, he didn't usually talk like that.
Probably not.
Yeah, and most of the time he was whining. But anyway. So when we were talking about, how Zechariah talks about how he's going to proclaim the kingdom as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is pretty neat. And so when that passage in Matthew talks about how John the Baptist is going to, was he really a Baptist, by the way? Anyway,
he was baptizing.
Different. So he wasn't the first Baptist.
No.
Got that squared away.
He was one that baptized.
Okay, now I got it. So when he says he was proclaiming, when he was speaking, I thought it was interesting too that the Greek word there means that he had a startling loud voice.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine this guy who's wild looking to begin with has this startling loud voice. So when he says, brood of vipers, he doesn't say, oh, you guys are a brood of vipers. He's like, brood of vipers. They go, whoa, dude, you talking to us?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
So he has this startling voice. And so he got people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, as I just said that to myself, I just thought, you're just talking about Zechariah with that beautiful canticle.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, he was struck dumb.
Yeah.
And so now here's his son with this like loud voice. His father was dumb for a long time.
Yeah.
And now years later, we don't know how well John had to be about 30-ish, 30 and a half at this point. So now his son has this startling voice. And, we were talking about before, if somebody talked in a church like this, we live in a time where we need to hear a startling loud voice.
We do, because we're asleep.
I hope those of you listening to this probably don't need that if you're tuning in special, if the both of you are tuning into the show and you you want to learn more about the scripture and you're already believers and so forth, but we need a startling loud voice.
Yeah.
We need to wake people up from a sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the other passage of Isaiah, which we're not going to get to now since next week is Christmas, is the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light.
Yeah.
I mean, we have people in the churches that are just sitting,
yeah,
that are half asleep or completely asleep, living in, you know, some kind of darkness, and the startling voices aren't here anymore. Because now there's feel-good voices, and there's seeker voices, and there's let's-everybody-just-be-happy-together voices.
Yeah.
And I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. Isn't this nice?
Mm-hmm.
And all that is true, but we need more than that.
Yeah.
Because here's this guy with this startling voice who's saying, you got to repent, and you got to come into the kingdom. You have to know where you stand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key. You have to know where you stand. Nobody wants to tell people in our day where they stand.
Yeah, and if you do, they don't listen to you.
Yes. Then you're being critical, you're being judgmental.
Narrow-minded, you're being
intolerant.
Bigoted. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's all that stuff.
John the Baptist wouldn't have cared about all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because he knew it wasn't about him. He knew he was a herald.
Yeah.
His name was Harold? No.
No.
His name
no,
was John.
But, don't confuse
but he was a herald in the sense that he was proclaiming this.
Yeah.
And he had to make, he's making straight the path for Messiah to come. But when you think about it, he's actually making people have a path toward the Messiah,
yeah,
which has to be straight.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when Zechariah proclaimed that by which the daybreak from on high will visit us to shine on those who sit in darkness and death's shadow, he's talking about the people that are dwelling in darkness, but also the darkness of sin.
Yes, exactly.
You know, not just the, that part of Galilee that was like that dark area,
mm-hmm,
but the darkness of sin, because sin blot out the light of God. But in preparing this path, as John was doing, he's the forerunner of Messiah. He's announcing his coming. You know, if you think about how a road is constructed, you know, if there's a hill or, you know, mm-hmm, some debris and stuff, well, they send in heavy machinery and they clear it out. They pave the way so that it's smooth. There might be a little upgrade or something like that, but they clear it out, and then they put in the road.
Yeah.
You know, but and that's right. What John is doing. He's clearing out all this brush and all this debris and telling people, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yeah.
You need to be baptized. I'm baptizing you with water for repentance.
Yeah.
But the one that's coming after me is mightier than I, and he's going to baptize you with fire.
Yeah. And you think I'm so great, I can't even carry his shoes.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. That's a good analogy with the road being built. That's excellent. So, you know, the path to the Messiah has to be made. He describes what the path is. It's repentance. It's showing you where you stand.
Yeah.
The common people understood this. The leaders didn't understand this. They went out to see what this guy was up to.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, you remember they asked Jesus, well, you know, John's authority, did it come from God or from man? He goes, well, what do you think? He goes, we can't decide. He goes, well, then I'm not going to tell you. Because they didn't know. They went out there to see what this guy was up to.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a threat to them, too.
Yep.
I mean, some people said he was the Christ, and he pointed out clearly he was not the Christ.
Right.
But, you know, he understands that you have to come, as we know, you have to come to the cross humbled. You have to come to the cross repentant.
Yeah.
You don't come to the cross arrogantly.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come in a spirit of surrender, like we talked about Mary last week. And people went because they wanted to hear about the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
They were waiting for a Messiah.
Yeah.
They were waiting for something to happen. It was there was an anticipation going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew something was about to happen. And boy, then they see this wild guy yelling, then imagine what they thought when he's yelling at the Pharisees.
Yeah.
I mean, they were the leaders. These common people must have said, ooh, he's yelling at the Pharisees. That's not going to end up good. But,
no.
They understood, you know, this baptism of repentance because they knew about the mikveh. know, you got in the water, and the water kind of cleansed you symbolically. It took your impurities away.
Yeah.
And then you came out of the mikvah bath, and you put your clothes back on, and then you went to do your ministry. He's saying, if you come and repent, I'm going to wash you, and I'm washing you with water, but Messiah's here. He's going to baptize you in fire and with the Holy Spirit. Now, they don't know what that means, but it sounds like something big's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, John proclaiming that, you know, John is a prophet. He's a prophet of the Most High.
Yeah.
You know, he's the forerunner of Christ, and he points to and identifies the Messiah. But he says he's going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. That is something that is completely new to the people of Israel.
Yeah.
Nobody has said that before.
Yeah.
You know, yes, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach Kodesh, fell upon prophets, but like in it with Moses, they fell in the camp, they prophesied, and then it was over. But John's talking about something new. He's talking about the promise of the Father that Jesus is going to speak about. So he announces that too. He announces the whole package.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
He's the making the road to the kingdom.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
So if you think the Holy Spirit isn't important in the kingdom of God, think again.
Yeah. And look at the way he, if you see him, you say, he looks like a crazy man. But when you listen to what he's saying, you know, he's filled with the Spirit. He's not allowed to tell people what he thinks. Well, I shouldn't say what he thinks. What is the truth? And he's not afraid to confront the Pharisees. You know, you don't just confront Pharisees. I mean, we don't really, well, I guess if you belong to a church that has a strict hierarchy, for example, if you're a Catholic and you get up in front of a group of bishops and cardinals and say, listen here, here's what you guys are about. I mean, that would be an example of what he would be up against.
Yeah.
And it would be unheard of for people to confront the Pharisees. And so he's not afraid. And you know, he calls them vipers. They have all these titles of honor. They have all these titles. They have, you know, they were the set apart ones. They were the ones that would say, well, we follow the law. I don't know about him. He looks kind of crazy, but we're following the law over here. I don't know what he's doing. Yet he calls them a brood of vipers.
Yeah.
A viper's a poisonous snake. I mean, if a viper bites you, you die.
Yeah.
A viper's a poisonous snake. So he's equating these religious leaders with a poisonous snake.
Yeah.
Because there, Jesus tells them in Matthew 23, not only do you not get into the kingdom, but you keep other people from getting in.
Yeah.
Hey, so you have double trouble.
Yeah, and Jesus also said, you know, your ancestors stoned the prophets.
Yes.
And you would do the same thing.
That's right. You say, oh, had we been there, we wouldn't have done it. He says, well, actually, you would have.
Yeah. And so you know, Jesus speaks to them and John speaks to them in this manner because they were to be a light to the nations. They were to God's sovereignty, God's holiness was to be evident through them.
Yeah.
And in some ways they prevented that.
Yes.
Because they
exactly
basically by trying to keep God for themselves, or just heaping on these you know rituals and burdens, you put all this weight, if you will, and then can you see God's glory through all of that? You know, God doesn't need all that. God just needs, God needs for us to say yes and then kind of get out of the way a little bit.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, if, yeah, we're, you know, we need to do some things, but it's God who brings about the plan of salvation. It's not really anything that we do per se that we initiate. God initiates it and God carries it forth.
Yeah. And by calling them vipers, you know, he's referring to these serpents. Jesus calls them children of the devil.
Yeah.
Which is a serpent as well.
Yeah.
You keep other people from getting into the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Whew, it's the second break already. I can't stop.
Wow.
Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. Let's listen to Paul Wilbur for a couple minutes.
True and righteous are all your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord? Glorify your name. Behold the Lord. God is my salvation. In Him I trust and will not be afraid. And I will give thanks and sing among the nations forever. Behold the Lord. Behold the Lord. With us, Messiah Emmanuel, Lion of Judah. Lift up your voice and declare the glory.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220, with the last segment before Christmas.
I know.
Oh, boy. The anticipation of Christmas. Ooh.
I know.
Pretty overwhelming.
Not a creature with... No, that's something else.
I never get anything from Santa anyway, because I'm always bad.
Santa?
Yeah.
Oh.
I I'm always bad.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, I'll take coal, though. What the heck?
A lump of coal.
So these poisonous serpents,
you're not environmentally friendly.
And then, you know, this thing about bringing fruit. No, that's right. I got our big carbon footprint.
Okay, let's get back to business.
So anyway, this bearing fruit thing is interesting, too, because what he's saying to them is, if you were here because you were repenting and you really wanted to know about this, you'd be bringing forth fruit.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys don't have any fruit. And because you don't have fruit, and because pretty soon there's going to be Matthew 23, and because pretty soon you're going to be the instrument that's going to put Messiah to death, although we know that he has to die anyway, the axis to the root of the tree. In other words, this cozy little system you guys have here, it's going to be cut down.
Yeah.
The axe is already here, and you guys just don't know it. And your time of the way you are presenting yourself as leaders and the attitude that you have as leaders is pretty much going to be gone, because the covenant is going to be different. And I know what you're going to say. We're children of Abraham. You know, we're not, you know, you're talking to us like we're some kind of, you know, unclean Gentile. You're talking to us like we're some kind of foreigner. You know, we're children of Abraham.
Yeah.
Why do we have to worry about all that stuff? And he says, well, guess what? You don't get any points for that, because
free pass.
Yeah. If God wants to, he can take these stones and make more children to Abraham. So, you know, you're going to be subject to this judgment because you give proof that you're not repentant.
Yeah.
You know, we would know it as, you know, in the Christian church, we would say like, well, what evidence do you have of salvation? You're just, you know, you're not doing anything. You're not bearing any fruit. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see the same thing happen in the church, but they don't realize what the axe at the root of the tree means.
Yeah, what that means, yeah.
Yeah, because if there's no fruit, the tree is going to be burned.
Yeah, and a lot of times we're not even aware that the axe lies at the root of the tree,
Yeah.
To cut it down.
Yeah.
You know, God sees if it's bearing fruit. We may think we're bearing fruit. You know, we can be busy going to planning meetings.
Yeah.
And, you know, going to other planning meetings and then going to, you know, like conferences and talks and, you know, planning some more stuff. You know, a lot of the stuff that we really do, you know, you have to wonder, does it really bear fruit?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the condition of our world. Look at the condition of our society. Are we really bearing fruit for the kingdom?
Yeah.
Where people are repentant and saying, I got to turn back and follow God.
Yep. Exactly. You know,
it seems like more and more there's a remnant of people than a flock of people.
Yeah.
Just my observation. Not judging, just observing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the hardness of somebody's heart can really impede God's will and God's plan, you know, God's plan for their own salvation. So this is why John the Baptist is saying, you know, don't presume that because you're children of Abraham that you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have to repent too. Everybody has to repent.
Exactly.
Because the kingdom of Messiah is at hand.
Yes.
You need to receive him as your Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't,
you're going to get burned in the fire.
This is the new and eternal covenant that John is proclaiming.
Yeah.
And that Jesus will ratify in his own blood.
Yeah.
And if you're not in the covenant, just like if you weren't in the old covenant, you're outside of God. You're outside of God's family.
That's right. And he says to them, there's one, he's mightier than I am. I'm not even worthy to carry his shoes.
Yeah.
So it's not about me. I'm not the one saying this. He's mightier than I am. I'm baptizing you with water. He's coming with fire and the Holy Spirit. And this thing about the winnowing fan and the threshing floor, that's how they used to separate wheat and chaff. They'd throw it up and the fan would thing and the chaff would fly away and the wheat would fall down, and they would just keep doing that to to separate. Yeah. So he's going to separate things. And he's going to do it. It's in his hand. The winnowing fan's in his hand.
Yeah.
And he's mightier than I am.
And John would even say that he must, you know, he must increase, meaning Jesus, and I must decrease.
Yeah.
He knew that his time for proclaiming the kingdom and the forerunner of the Messiah would come to an end.
Yeah. Interestingly, too, John was a Levite because Zechariah was a priest. John was a Levite, but he never worked in the temple. Yeah. Never preached at the temple that we know of. Jesus was not a Levite, but he taught in the temple with authority.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting.
Kind of interesting,
yeah. Yeah. And the brood of vipers, you know, they'd have been upset by that too.
Yeah.
But this is the thing about when you come, what you need is surrender, repentance. You have to come on down the path, the narrow road, so to speak.
Yeah.
You don't show up with all your robes and say, what do you think you're doing out here? And he's the forerunner of that new covenant.
Right.
Woo.
It's all good stuff. It's really amazing, that, you know, John spoke with, well, not amazing, but John spoke with authority. He was filled in the womb of his mother with the Holy Spirit. When Mary greeted Elizabeth and she spoke to Mary, John leapt in joy because Jesus was in the womb of Mary at the time.
Yeah, I love that.
And so they're all filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
There was a first charismatic conference.
That's right.
Woo!
That's awesome. This was good.
Yeah.
Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that as we approach Christmas and celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Messiah, that you would continue to examine your own heart and your own home and make room for the coming of our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.